justice for all. America, keep singing the song.
We must not be silent with every voice strong.
America, keep singing the song.
America keeps singing a song. Choir keeps singing a song. We like you. We enjoy your voices. And we enjoy those songs lifting up both our nation and our congregation to the Lord. We need it. We need the Lord. I saw a pretty picture up here. I don't know who put that up there. I've noticed those two children up there, probably the prettiest two children I ever saw in the world. I don't know where you got that, but whoever it was, give it back to my wife. Yes, the children were born. Thank you for your prayers and your concerns during that period of time. We appreciate that so much. If you are, I got a VBS note for Tuesday. What's that for, honey?
No Tuesday VBS except for if you're able to come and hand out flyers, and I think that's Tuesday morning. So we want Tuesday morning, but if it's okay, since I have the floor, we might try to sneak in and maybe a meeting on Thursday coming up. So if you're in VBS or thinking about VBS, look for that and we'll discuss it and see if we can make that happen Thursday evening, probably about 6 or 6:30.
In case you didn't, I remember exactly what it was for now. If you want to hand out flyers for VBS during the parade, get with Chris Steinbrecher, and she will tell you all the information you need to know about that. Good memory, man. Lifeway, the same thing. If you'd like to be a part of the group that will be marching for Lifeway, that will be talk to Pastor Bob about that. The only thing is, if you want to be a part of that, they just ask that you wear a red shirt. So that'll be on Tuesday off also for the parade here in town. So and then I also guess there's a couple young ladies having a special days. Ginger and Lorena, happy birthday. They turned one, what was 29, one just turned 30. So those two young ladies, they wish them a happy birthday there. And God bless you. We're glad you're a part of our congregation. We can share this with you. Not often we have our 29th and 30th birthdays. And then I guess, I said, come to church. I'm not going to know where I'm going to go with this exactly, so watch out. We had chicken duty today. Kids are camping, so we have to go over and do the chicken duty while they're gone. And as we pulled down one of the streets here, I think it was something Palestine Street, a road out in the country, I went past this particular house. It was a very nice house. It looked like a brick colonial, very nice, well taken care of, modern, And in front of it was one of those driving campers. You know, not the kind you pull behind a car, but the driving camper, beautiful driving camper. And next to it was this beautiful large boat, And you look down the street, and I don't know the man, I don't know who it is or woman who lives there, but I thought you want to say, boy, they got it made, don't you? So you want to say, I don't know whether they have it made or not. I don't know whether they're healthy. I don't know whether they're happy. I don't know anything about them. I just know they have a big boat and a big camper and a nice house. That's all I know about them, out in a nice part of the country. But, and I don't know whether the person is at work today or at church today or laying at home sick today. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that there was a man called Beverly Shea who sang a song and said, take the whole world but give me Jesus. Take the whole world, and I can remember that verse that says, what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And then after seeing those things on the roadside there, I had to say the best thing's already here. I got it right here in my heart. The love of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the friends I get here at the church. So the best things aren't in my parking lot, are they? They're right here. God bless you. We're glad you're here with us today. And have a great time of worship together.
Amen. Thanks, brother, pastor. Let's stand and sing, shall we? My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Oh, let's do the pledges first. Sorry. I pledge allegiance to the flag of United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. Amen. Let's sing, shall we?
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than love. Success be nobleness and every gain divine. We can almost hear the trumpet sound, the Lord's return is near. There are still so many people lost, his message they must hear. Father, give us one more moment, one more day, just one more year. With God we're marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Let's read together Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. 1 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift.
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you. did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. That you came to seek and save the lost.
Father, this morning we're thankful for our country and what you've done, what you've allowed to happen, and the freedom that we've shared. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but praise you, Lord. We know that you're in charge. Help us to live our lives of joy because of what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Looking for some praises this morning that you want to praise the Lord for this morning. Who's going to be the first one? Kelly.
I'm just praising God today. Yesterday, my son went to a job. He has not worked in about 10 years. And his first he's a security guard, and his first assignment was the Taylor Swift concert. So he went there. He got up early, 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's all the way in Cincinnati. So he drove down there. He was there. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning talking to Letizia, like, why ain't he home? Where's he at? What's going on? So he came home when I was talking on the phone to her, and it went so good, he said. And this is, you know, I won't say that, but it's just a praise because everything just clicked, click, 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 and it all worked out, and he went there, he's home, he's safe, I don't have to worry anymore, and it's good. So I'm praising God for that today.
Well, this is the praising side over here, must be.
Well, I didn't want you to have to walk that far. So. I just want to praise God for the privilege of being an American, having this wonderful country that we can. And we are the land of the free because of the brave. I have great respect for our military people that have served us over the years. As a matter of fact, I have at least 3 great, 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 great grandfathers that served in the Revolutionary War. And so it's just, I wish we didn't have to have the military in a perfect world. We'd all be treating each other perfectly, but it's not, so we don't, and we need them. So thank you to God for our country, and help us get back to serving him better in our country.
I'd just like to ask for prayers to a good friend of ours, Phil Comeans. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. And his health isn't that good, so please pray for him. Thank you.
Any other prayer requests? We had Ben Franklin here. He must have went home, but he was here. He was here ringing the bell this morning. Old Ben must have kicked off.
I just have a praise and just want to thank God for this fresh air, the good air quality that we're enjoying right now, and just want to thank you for a church family that is praying, and I think I'm over the pneumonia, the pleurisy, and just kind of a new asthmatic kind of thing that's going on, but I'm, so if you don't mind praying for that, but I'm praising God for a good day, and just to be in the house of the Lord.
We're glad the Neelys found their way home. I guess the GPS must have worked finally, so here they are. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for this day, for bringing us here, for allowing us to be in a free country where we can worship you. Help us, Lord, through the different changes and things that are going on in this country that seem to be going against that. Just give us strength, Lord, to be able to stand up and witness and testify for you and to be in different positions, Lord, to help to bring things back to a sense of normalcy. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we praise and worship you. Be with those who have gone through surgeries, those who are looking toward surgeries and different things that are happening. Those who can't be here this morning, be with them as well. And for those who are recovering from maybe a physical ailment, maybe it's a spiritual ailment, financial, family matters, whatever it may be, pray you just be with them as well, Lord. We pray for your guidance and your direction, that you'll just show us your way. And just help us, Lord, to be more like you in Christ's name.
Well, in just over 240 years, a country was born. And I believe today it needs to be born again. And we can pray for that end. As we celebrate what God has blessed us with, we want to be a part of the blessing in others' lives. Amen. Within the heart has always known that there is freedom somehow breathed into the very soul of life. The prisoner, the powerless, and the slave have always known it. There's just something that keeps reaching for the sky. And even a life begins because a baby fights for freedom. And songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. And some have walked through fire and flood to find a place of freedom. And some faced hell itself for freedom's dream. Freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know where God built freedom into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us to all be free and whole. Oh, but when my Lord bought freedom through the blood of his redemption, his cross stamped pardon on my very soul. And now I'll sing it out with every breath. I'll let the whole world hear it. This hallelujah anthem of the free. The iron bars and the heavy chains can never, never hold us captive. For the Son has made us free, and free indeed. Let freedom ring through the ages from a hill called Calvary. That wherever hearts know pain, let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no key. We can be free and we can sing. Let freedom
for that, Sam. We're talking about reclaiming America this morning, and some of the information is from a guy named Ray Scott. It's not all mine, just so you know. But Tuesday is the 4th of July, Independence Day. On July 2nd, the Continental Congress voted in favor of Lee's resolution for independence in a near unanimous vote. The New York delegation abstained, but later voted affirmatively. And on that day, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, that July 2nd will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. And that celebration should include pomp, parade, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. And we see that, don't we? At least in my neighborhood, it already started. It'll probably go on for the next week. So I'm guessing they're, you know, having a lot of their pomp and fireworks and everything else going on. But 4th of July, the Continental Congress formally adopted the Declaration of Independence, which had been written largely by Jefferson. And though the vote for the actual independence took place on July 2nd, from then on, the 4th became the day that was celebrated as the birth of American independence, freedom from British rule, and freedom of religion. So so that way they can practice. We can practice religion today, can't we? We don't always agree with all the different kinds of religions that are out there, but we know God knows which ones are worshiping and serving him. But America is a great place to live compared to other countries. If you've been to other countries, you can see a difference, can't you? Go to Macedonia, go to Russia, different places we've been. Even Australia is a modern nation, but it's not a godly nation. Now you can see that in a lot of places that it looks nice, but underneath there's turmoil, there's problems, there's things that happen. But America can be a crazy place, and here's what somebody wrote. It says, only in America can you get to your house, can get pizza to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America do drugstores make the sick people walk all the way to the back to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy suntan lotion up front. Only in America do you order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and fill our garages with junk. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls, have call waiting, so we don't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. And here's the last one. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. So frustrating, isn't it? And the list can go on. But I think God has blessed America in a lot of ways. But it's far from what our founding fathers pictured, I think. They've kind of drifted away. And it's time that we reclaim America for the Lord, isn't it? Time we stand up as Christians and be counted and be heard. Paul tells us how to worship the Lord, and in that process, I believe, how to reclaim America for God. So in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Pray for all people, not just certain people, not just some people. For kings and all those in authority, we may live in a peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior. And here's another key, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Problem is, truth isn't out there nowadays, is it? There's a lot of false things going on that people claim are true. A lot of statements that they make that are not true. We need to make sure people know what the truth is. So Paul gives us several things we can do to reclaim America. First of all, in 1 Timothy it says, petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So the first step for us is to pray. Pray for our leaders, pray for our children, for our families. Ask the Lord to intercede on their behalf. And then thank him for what he's doing. We don't always see what God's doing behind the scenes, do we? We don't see what people's hearts are being changed. We don't see things that are happening. But pray for those and thank him for what he's going to do already. Thank him for all people because we're all created by him. We all have the opportunity to be free from what binds us. There's a lot of things binding people today, aren't there? Look at the newspaper. Look at the internet. Look at TV. All these things are binding people. They're in control of their lives and different things, and they're going off in these awkward, weird, sinful ways that are not biblical. And society, a lot of times, is accepting those. But we want to be united in mind and purpose. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that we have not because we ask not, and we need to ask according to God's will. So we ask things sometimes, but it's not according to God's will. We wonder, why hasn't he answered the prayer? Because it wasn't according to God's will. We read the first part, you have not because you ask not, and think, I can ask for anything, I'm going to get it. But then the second part says according to God's will. So we need to ask according to what God wants us to have. And we know God wants to love one another, to forgive one another, and for everybody to be saved. Not walk around with a vendetta, people, right? Not walk around being upset, angry at everybody, but to love one another. So the groundwork for freedom we enjoy was laid over the past 244 years, Sam. You're pretty close. You're only 4 years off. 244 years, and it was bathed in prayer. And we enjoy freedom today because of what God and our founding fathers had in mind. For our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, sons and daughters, to have freedom. That's what they wanted. They didn't want to destroy England. They just wanted to be free. They just wanted to get away and be able to do things the way that they thought they should be done. But it didn't come cheap, because the Patriots fought for freedom of religion, but there's those who think it's freedom from religion. Those are two different things, aren't they? Freedom of religion and freedom from religion. They don't want to be free from religion. They want to practice their religion, but they want to be free from the rule of England. Do you think we're a Christian nation today? Probably in name only, right? But we were founded on Christian principles, weren't we? Those are things we need to get back to. The first settlers in America came here to express their religious faith for the freedom to worship. And the pilgrims who came to Plymouth Rock on the Mayflower wrote in the Mayflower Compact in 1620, it says, "In the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together." So they came here together in God's name and God's purpose, right? Amen. For the advancement of the Christian faith. That's what it was about. That's why they started. 23 years later, the New England Confederation was written. Listen to what our founding fathers wrote. It says, "Whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and peace." Why did they come? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can have liberties, the gospel, be pure, and have peace. That was the whole idea of it. Today we have a group of people out there trying to exterminate the Word of God from public view and obliterate every idea that there is a God, to change the ordinances and meaning and validity of Scripture, and to change history itself. We're seeing history rewritten or forgotten, right? Or changed. History's not always going to be a good picture, is it? But you can see what happened in the past. If you take that away, how are you going to know what to learn from it? It says if you don't learn from history, you're destined to repeat it. We need to see who the slave owners were, why they owned slaves, what happened afterwards, how they changed, but we don't get a chance to do that. We just hear, well, they did this, and then you take them out. You get rid of this, get rid of that, take the statue down. Not contributing the good things they did after that. What if they put all of our sins up for what we did? Well, he or she did this, look at that. But never put the reconciliation afterwards, right? The redemption to what happened. But they have corrupt ideas trying to lead people away from what our founding fathers desired. So listen to what the framers of our Constitution wrote in 1776. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world." Who's the Supreme Judge of the world? God. "For the rectitude of our intentions and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." So they're relying on God's protection and guidance when they're writing this, and they pledged their lives to this. Said, we'll give our lives because we think it's that important. They pledged their lives because they wanted people to be able to worship freely. When the First Continental Congress met, we're debating about how the Declaration of Independence should be written. Ben Franklin, where's Ben? Oh, Ben, you lost your hair back there, but he was here. Ben Franklin got up and said this, and if I'd have thought about it, I would have had Larry stand up and say this, but I didn't think about it. "Gentlemen, if it's true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek his face." They're saying God knows the distress that we're under. If a petal can fall to the ground and God notices that, he knows what distress that we have. So we're going to seek his face to try to find a solution, try to make this work. After having said that, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence went to their knees and began to pray and seek God's wisdom. What would happen if our Congress and our Supreme Court prayed today? What if they all believed in God and did what was right? What if they said, "Almighty God, what do you want for this nation?" We'd live in a much different world, wouldn't we? If they prayed fervently, expectantly, and continually. 56 men of the signers of declaration paid the price for independence. You may have seen this before, but I'm going to share it again, what they went through. Five were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons to the American Revolution. 1 had 2 sons captured in the war for independence. 9 fought and died from wounds of the Revolutionary War. Carter Braxton, a wealthy Virginia trader, saw his ship destroyed, had to sell his home to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. Thomas McKean had to constantly move his family because of British harassment. He served in Congress without pay and died in poverty. Thomas Nelson urged General Washington to destroy his home when it was taken by the British and use a command post. He died bankrupt. Your freedom and independence and ability to worship freely came at a cost, didn't it? And that seems to be slipping away. Our freedoms seem to be taken away more and more each time. More government control, more government power, right? Hands in more things than they don't need to be in. And we just keep getting taken over. Our founding fathers were committed not only to freedom for them, but for future generations. So they were preparing for generations ahead, for us and the generations to come, because they were committed Christians to Christian principles. So I've just got a couple. I got 3, and I'm going to tell you what they said. 3 men. John Quincy Adams, the second president, speaking of the Declaration of Independence, he said, "From the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they all acknowledge as the root of their conduct. We all came together to obey the word of God." So here again, they're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, talking about the Bible, right? Governing our conduct and what we're supposed to do. And they all came together to obey God's word. George Washington, in his farewell address, said, "Do not let anyone claim tribute to American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." You can't take religion out of politics or you lose the whole moral value, don't you? And then Patrick Henry, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." So our founding fathers had a faith, and we keep pushing that off to the side and trying to bury it and trying to change it, saying that didn't happen. These men and hundreds more paid the price to give us a nation built on godly principles and the foundation of Jesus. So what can we do to start? We can pray for America. 1 Timothy says, "Pray that they were to pray so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness." Wouldn't that be good if we were at peace in America? There's always some kind of fight, some kind of conflict, some kind of war, whether here or overseas, some fight's always going on. It'd be nice to be at peace and be in all godliness and honesty. The problem is you don't see a lot of honesty in a lot of things today. You don't know who to believe, right? You watch the news, you watch politics, you watch debates, you watch candidates. Yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to do this. And it doesn't happen because there's not a lot of honesty. We need to be living according to God's word and his standards. And it's been the framework of our nation's government that was patterned after the Bible. And here's something I found. It says, "We have 3 branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial." That's not what I found. This is the next part. This is a new concept of national government. And it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king, and he will save us." So this is what this person said. It says, we have the same 3 branches that America's founded on. The judge is the judicial branch, the lawgiver, legislative branch, and the king, the executive branch. So their idea was that our government is patterned after the Bible in these 3 ways, where it says, "For the Lord is judge, the Lord is lawgiver, and the Lord is our king." That's where our 3 branches of government came from. Is that what it is? I don't know, but it sounds like a good theory, doesn't it? Our nation has strayed from the word of God and our original intent. Many leaders try to take not only God out of our nation, but the very mention of God off our money, right? All those things. Some want to take "in God we trust" off our money. Some want to take "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Some are taking the 10 Commandments out of public view. Some want to take the mention of God altogether out of everything. The World War II monument was dedicated in Washington, D.C. in 2004, and there's a quote from President Franklin D. Roosevelt. And he used it, and he said, there was a part in there that talks about Pearl Harbor, and then it said, "So God help us," and they took that part out. That should be the most prominent part, shouldn't it? God help us. We need help. We need direction. We need guidance. We need peace. So what's another thing we can do? We can live a God-honoring life. Be an example to your friends, your neighbors, your family, no matter where you are. Conduct yourself in that way. But sin has disgraced God's name in our nation. Here's some things that I found. The divorce rate in America is around 40% for new marriages and 65% for second marriages. And it's 25% among Christians. Another source said, as of 2019, 65% of teen pregnancies end in abortions. 65%. Another source said that 56% of teens who claim to be Christians believe it's okay to be sexually active before marriage. One site said that since 1976, child abuse is up 240%. Pornography, sexual abuse, broken homes, abuse of power. The unbelieving world is shouting out its message. There are groups, and you know who they are, the Alphabet Gang, all those different ones, speaking out against biblical marriage, changing the design, changing the meaning. So we're changing words now to mean something different than what they meant. Changing biblical truth to mean something different than what they're supposed to mean. So people and groups that are totally contrary want to fit into those things. You could name something else, but they've got to take that name to try to degrade what God has done. We're now changing pronouns for people. We're not calling them he's and she's anymore. There are all kinds of things, right? Non-binary, them, they, this, that, the other thing, I don't know. There are all kinds of things beside what they are. God said there's male and female. That's what you are. Whether you decide to change your body to something else, you're still a male, you're still a female, biologically, no matter what you do to the outside. We're now giving, encouraging children to change their gender without parents' approval or permission. You have to have permission to watch a movie, but not change your gender. And our leaders are listening to them. Liberals are speaking out. Family values have been a laughingstock. And our leaders are listening to them. The sad truth is Christians are probably still a majority, but I don't think we're speaking out about things, are we? We're just quiet. We shake our heads and say, oh, that's terrible. We should be writing letters, making phone calls. Whatever it may be we need to do, we start doing those things. We'll be in the parade on Tuesday, which is something we can do for LifeWise. If you can't walk the parade, ride the bus. There's going to be a bus there you can ride just to show your support. So what we need to have is support for these kind of things. VBS programs, teaching kids the gospel. We need support for that. Passing out flyers. Parents, bring your kids. They need to learn about Jesus Christ. Because some of them don't know anything about it. Who's Jesus? Who's Noah? I don't know. I never heard about that. Noah's my friend from next door, but I don't know anything else about him. It's a sad truth. Can't just sit in our house and say this country's going in a bad direction. We need to get out there. There's going to be, I think, 3 school board positions coming up in December for election. Talk to your friends. Get some Christian people in those positions. We need to be in politics, whether you like it or not. We need Christian voices in those offices to start making changes and make things happen differently on the school boards, on the council, whatever it may be. Christian teachers. Chris knows how it is to be in a system that's not a Christian system, but you're still a witness to those kids. They still know who you are, and if they ask you, you can tell them, this is what I believe. That's what I did when I taught. If they asked me, I told them. They asked questions about things in science. I had a science class. I said, well, there's a really good website called Answers in Genesis. You can go there and see what they say about it. We do a lot of stuff inside the church, but we need to do more things outside the church. God expects us to use our freedoms that our founding fathers made possible to be a witness for Christ in the sinful world that we live in. Here's a story that I found. It says, one Sunday as they drove home from church, little Susie turned to her mother and said, Mommy, there's something the preacher said that I don't understand. The mother said, "What's that, honey?" "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the whole world in his hand. Is that true?" The mother said, "Yes, that's true. But then he said that God comes to live inside of us when we trust Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Is that true?" Mother assured Susie that that was true. With a puzzled look on her face, Susie then said, "If God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through us?" Pretty profound statement, isn't it, for that girl to think about that? Amen. If God is in us and living in us, won't he show through us that he's there? We're not perfect, but we can still show that Christ is living in us, because we know there's still hope for America. There's hope for our kids, for our grandkids, right? These little babies that were just born, there's hope for them. They don't live in a hopeless world. We're here to pass on that hope, that tradition, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that there's a better world, there's a better place coming, that there is freedom in him. And the last part says that who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all to be saved. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I think sometimes we let our light shine from us to glorify our good works to show how good we are. When we need to say, "This isn't from me, this is because of God. This is why I'm here, this is why I have this, this is why I can do this, this is why I am doing this." Then he says in Psalm 33, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." So when our nation, including all those who call themselves Christians, cease to look at God, we cease to be blessed. And I think we've seen some of that, haven't we? People turning away from God, and he turns away from us and lets us have our own things that we want to have. We need to turn back to him. Forefathers claimed this nation for God, and we need to reclaim it. So in summary, what can we do? First of all, pray for America. Pray for our kids, our families, and especially for our leaders who are controlling and directing, right? And for those, I think, that are behind the leaders that are directing our leaders, that are behind them. There's people behind our leaders, I think, that are directing them, whether they're in control of money or power, whatever it may be, and they're telling this country how to go and how to turn. We need to pray for them. As Christians, we need to live righteous lives, stand on the principles and values of the Word of God, that people can see what a Christian life really looks like. And when you fail and you fall down, you get back up. You ask for forgiveness and you carry on. And the last thing, shine forth for the light for Christ who lives in you, and show that Jesus is real. Let others see it and share with those who don't know him. It can be a simple thing. "Can I pray for you? Did you know this? This is what God's done for me. Jesus saved me and I'm so glad." Whatever it can be, some of those kind of things that we can share. Maybe you want to share it in an email, a letter, a text, whatever it can be. You can still share, can't you? We have all these avenues that we can share today. Maybe you want to volunteer to be a VBS helper so kids can see that you're there. Wow, there really are adults there. There really are people here that care. "Yeah, my grandpa's here." That's what they'll say to me, right? "My grandpa's there." Good. I want them to see that grandpa's there. That grandpa believes in God, that have a faith. So that someday they'll have their faith, right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this day for your word, for your guidance, for your direction. We know and we can see that our country is slipping away, but we know that you're greater than all these things. We know that this country was founded on freedom of religion. We can practice our faith and our service to you. Help us be witnesses for you, Lord. Be with this parade that's coming up as we pass out VBS invitations and as we advertise for LifeWise. We want your will to be done, not ours. Help us to be witnesses here to our family, to our friends, that we can leave a legacy of a faith in Jesus Christ, that we can see the world change and come towards you. We know it's going to get worse, but we know people still need to be saved. So we ask for your strength and your direction and your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Let's sing.
Heal our land, Father, heal our land. Hear our cry and turn our nation back to you. Lord, heal our land. Here. sin and heal our broken land. Forgive our sin and heal our broken land.
Pray that we'll be servants as we try to make a change, as Pastor said. Amen. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Great. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.